75 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to the Hebrew Bible reading Judges 12 to 14. Intertribal dissension. The men of Ephraim were called to arms, and they crossed Zaphon and said to Jephthah, "Why did you cross over to fight against the Ammonites and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house down over you." Jephthah said to them, "My people and I were engaged in conflict with the Ammonites, who oppressed us severely. But when I called you, you did not deliver me from their hand. When I saw that you would not deliver me, I took my life in my hand and crossed over against the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into my hand. Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me?" Then Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim, and the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim because they said, "You are fugitives from Ephraim, you Gileadites, in the heart of Ephraim and Manasseh." Then the Gileadites took the fords of the Jordan against the Ephraimites. Whenever one of the fugitives of Ephraim said, "Let me go over," the men of Gilead would say to him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" And he would say, "No." They said to him, "Then say Shibboleth." And he said Shibboleth, for he could not pronounce it right. They seized him and killed him at the fords of the Jordan. 42,000 of the Ephraimites fell at that time. Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah the Gileadite died and was buried in the town of Gilead. Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon. After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. He had 30 sons. He gave his 30 daughters in marriage outside his clan and brought in 30 young women from outside of his sons. He judged Israel 7 years. Then Ibzan died and was buried at Bethlehem. After him, Elon the Zebulunite judged Israel, and he judged Israel 10 years. Then Elon the Zebulunite died and was buried at Ajalon in the land of Zebulun. After him, Abdon, son of Hillel, the Pirianite, judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys. He judged Israel 8 years. Then Abdon, son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, died and was buried at Pirathon in the land of Ephraim in the hill country of the Amalekites. The birth of Samson. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah of the tribe of the Danites whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren, having borne no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Although you are barren, having borne no children, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now be careful not to drink wine or strong spirit or to eat anything unclean, for you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor is to come on his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from birth. For it is he who shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Then the woman came and told her husband, "A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like that of an angel of God, most awe-inspiring. I did not ask him where he came from, and he did not tell me his name. But he said to me, 'You shall conceive and bear a son. So then drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from birth to the day of his death.' Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, 'O my Lord, I pray, let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we are to do concerning the boy who will be born.' God listened to Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field, but her husband Manoah was not with her. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, 'The man who came to me the other day has appeared to me.' Manoah got up and followed his wife and came to the man and said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to this woman?' And he said, 'I am.' Then Manoah said, 'Now when your words come true, what is it to be the boy's rule of life? What is he to do?' The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Let the woman give heed to all that I said to her. She may not eat of anything that comes from the vine. She is not to drink wine or strong drink or eat any unclean thing. She is to observe everything that I commanded her.' Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Allow us to detain you and prepare a kid for you.' The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'If you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you want to prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, so that we may honor you when your words come true?" But the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name? It is too wonderful." So Manoah took the kid with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord, to him who works wonders. When the flame went up towards heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar while Manoah and his wife looked on, and they fell on their faces to the ground. The angel of the Lord did not appear again to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord, and Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die, for we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering at our hands, or shown us all these things, or announced to us things such as these." The woman bore a son and named him Samson. The boy grew, and the Lord blessed him. The spirit of the Lord began to stir in him in Mahanadon between Zorah and Eshtol. Samson's marriage. Once Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah, he saw a Philistine woman. Then he came up and told his father and mother, "I saw a Philistine woman at Timnah. Now get her for me as a wife." But his father and his mother said to him, "If there is there not a woman among your kin or among all our people that you must go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me because she pleases me." His father and mother did not know that this was from the Lord, for he was seeking a pretext to act against the Philistines. At the time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah. When he came to the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion roared at him. The spirit of the Lord rushed on him, and he tore the lion apart barehanded, as one might tear apart a kid. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson, and after a while he returned to marry her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion and honey. He scraped it into his hand and went on eating as he went. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they ate it, but he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the carcass of the lion. His father went down to the woman, and Samson made a feast there, as the young men were accustomed to do. When the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. Samson said to them, "Let me now put a riddle to you. If you can explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 festal garments. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 festal garments." So they said to him, "Ask your riddle, let us hear it." He said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet." But for 3 days they could not explain the riddle. On the fourth day they said to Samson's wife, "Coax your husband to explain the riddle to us, or we will burn you in your father's house with fire. Have you invited us here to impoverish us?" So Samson's wife wept before him, saying, "You hate me. You do not really love me. You have asked a riddle of my people, but you have not explained it to me." He said to her, "Look, I have not told my father or my mother. Why should I tell you?" She wept before him the 7 days that their feast lasted, and because she nagged him, on the seventh day he told her. Then she explained the riddle to her people. The men of the town said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle." Then the spirit of the Lord rushed on him, and he went down to Ashkelon. He killed 30 men of the town, took their spoil, and gave the festal garments to those who explained the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. Samson defeats the Philistines. After a while, at the time of the wheat harvest, Samson went to visit his wife, bringing along a kid. He said, "I want to go into my wife's room," but her father would not allow him to go in. Her father said, "I was sure that you had rejected her, so I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister prettier than she? Why not take her instead?" Samson said to them, "This time, when I do mischief to the Philistines, I will be without blame." So Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took some torches, and he turned the fox tail to tail and put a torch between each pair of tails. When he had set fire to the torches, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up the shocks and standing grain, as well as the vineyards and olive groves. Then the Philistines asked, "Who has done this?" And they said, "Samson, the son-in-law of Timnite, because he has taken Samson's wife and given her to his companion." So the Philistines came and burned her and her father. Samson said to them, "If this is what you do, I swear I will not stop until I have taken revenge on you." He struck them down hip and thigh with a massive defeat, and they went down and stayed in the cleft of the rock of Edom. Then the Philistines came up and encamped in Judah and made a raid on Lehi. The men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" They said, "We have come up to bind Samson, to do to him as he did to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Edom, and they said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have they done to us?" He replied, "As they did to me, so I have done to them." They said to him, "We have come to bind you so that you may give to you into the hands of the Philistines." Samson answered them, "Swear to me that you yourselves will not attack me." They said to him, "No, we will not only bind you and give you into their hands, we will not kill you." So they bound him with the two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed on him, and the ropes were on his arms, became like flax that had caught fire, and the bonds melted off his hands. Then he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached down and took it, and he killed 1,000 men. And Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men." When he had finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and that place was called Ramoth Lehi. By then he was thirsty, and he called on the Lord, saying, "You have granted this great victory by the hand of your servant. Am I now to die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" So God split open the hollow place that is at Lehi, and water came from it. When he drank, his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore it was named En-Kakor, which is at Lehi to this day, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? How do we make sense of the story of Samson and the lion? What does it mean for Samson to have the Spirit of the Lord rush onto him? How does this story help us to be weary of temptation and seek God's strength rather than our own? Now let's move to Hebrews 12 to 13. The example of Jesus. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary in your souls or lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children. My child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord or lose heart when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and he chastises every child whom he accepts. Endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children, for what child is there whom a parent does not discipline? If you do not have that discipline with which all children share, then you are illegitimate and not his children. Moreover, we had human parents to discipline us, and we respected them. Should we not be even more willing to be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share his holiness. Now discipline always seemed painful rather than pleasant at the time, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Warnings against rejecting God's grace. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and through it may become defiled. See to it that no one becomes an immoral and godless person, as Esau was, who sold his birthright for a single meal. You know that later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, even though he sought the blessing with tears. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure that order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. Service well-pleasing to God. Let mutual affection continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourself were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by regulations about food, which have not benefited those who observe them. We have an altar from which those who officiate in the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sins are burnt outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also suffered outside the city gate in order to sanctify the people by his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp and bear the abuse he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifice are pleasing to the Lord. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not sighing, for that would be harmful to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you all the more to do this so that I may be restored to you very soon. Benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought back the dead of our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good so that you may do his will as he works among us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Final exhortation and greeting. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been set free, And if he comes in time, he will be with me when I see you. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with all of you. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? Hebrews provides guidance on what a life pleasing to God looks like, rather than the narratives we are reading in the Hebrew Bible. I wonder if a book like Hebrews can be explored better through slow meditation. In reading letters that are not written to us in particular, we begin by understanding the original intent and then seek the broader wisdom. Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one. Thank you.